morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans.
Good morning. Here we are, Democratic Perspective, one more time. Mike Cosentino here with the wonderful and silent researcher.
Not so silent.
With our fearless leader over in Spain. Steve Williamson is over in Spain doing a little research for Democratic Perspective. He's on assignment. But we are taking a little break from our usual political nastiness here this morning.
We should recognize that it's Memorial Day.
We should recognize that it is Memorial Day.
And wish everyone a happy Memorial Day from Democratic Perspective and Democrats of the Red Rocks. Happy may not be the right term.
Right, that was going to go along. It is called Memorial Day, after all, and it is to remember those that gave the full measure of devotion, as Abraham Lincoln said.
I'd like to plug an article, if I could, too.
Please.
There's a great article in the Los Angeles Times. A special report.
A liberal rag.
About the growing divide between the military and civilians. A great read. I highly recommend it for the day.
Well, very good. Yes. I'm a veteran, but this is called Memorial Day. And I did not have to give that full measure. I survived to go on to do radio shows.
Some of us are even happy about that.
Well, me too. But we do want to remember those that did. And it's a day when the living do honor the fallen. And there's been lots of ceremonies in Cottonwood and Sedona. And they may not be over. So if you've missed it, you can maybe still find one. But today we're taking a little break from our political stuff. And we're going to, as we have done in the past, we're going to talk a little bit about Verde Valley wine. You know, every time we do this, it's a revelation to me about how much is going on. There's 20 wineries in the Verde Valley. There's lots of. I belong to two of them. You know, Kate. So there, I belong to two wine clubs in the Verde Valley. And go to their wine tastings, and wine shows up at my door every once in a while. It's kind of a great deal. But we're going to get down to the nitty gritty. We want to find out. We have Michael Pierce, the enology instructor from Yavapai College. We have Tom Schumacher, the president of the Verde Valley Wine Consortium, and we have returning the infamous and famous Paula Wosley, who does. What do you do, Paula? You do things.
I do things. I have a consulting firm called The Cellar Door Unhinged, and I teach at the college, wine classes, and sit on a few boards, vice president of the consortium.
Vice president of the consortium.
All around Arizona wine cheerleader.
The Arizona wine cheerleader. There you go. And, there's lots of good local wine out there. The wine tastings are becoming, it's just, you know, how many good wines are you going to get? In my, you know, they figured it out. They figured out how to make different wine and good wine and all of that.
And they've gotten just amazingly better since I first arrived in the valley when the vineyards first began. The wines are spectacular, I think.
As we have a lot of Arizona wine, we have a lot of, vines and a lot of things are grown down in Wilcox and whatnot. And up here, so it's depends on what you want, and it seems like there's quite a bit going on. So but we do have some events, some other things to talk about. I'm going to try to get some of these other folks talking here. You know, I want to talk about the college first. We have events. We want to talk about wine symposium. But Michael Pierce is first time on the show. And he's already saying, what have I gotten into here? But tell us, we've talked on other shows about your program when we said, hey, we need to get Michael on so we can talk about it directly. Tell us what you got. What you got going? We're talking about the Southwest Wine Center. They even gave this guy, he has a building over there that they make wine at. What's going on?
Well, it's not my building. It's definitely our building. I think it's the community's building. Tom Schumacher to my left here, he actually was instrumental at getting the college to accept this to happen. And now that they have it, it's kind of the jewel of the Verde campus. So everybody's very proud of it. There was a huge capital campaign that went into place that's going to conclude at the end of this year. So it was a lot of community money that went into it, some grant money. And what we're talking about right now, we have 11 acres of fruit, and we have a 3,000 case capacity winery. It's a teaching winery. We've produced wine starting this last fall. As soon as the building opened, we were off and running. We had our first bottling just this last April. We had a white wine go to bottle, and then this summer I'll be working with students to bottle the remaining reds from the 2014 vintage. The Wine Center also houses a tasting room, which will be student-run. And all of this is built into the curriculum, so students get to learn how to grow grapes, how to make wine, how to bottle, how to label, compliance, how to sell, what taxes they need to pay, what they need to watch for overconsumption, how to engage with people with wine. And then eventually, once it's sold, the proceeds will then go back to support the program. So in time, we're hoping that we can create a sustainable thing, a sustainable program that not only helps people get jobs and, you know, they can stand on their own two feet and work at these vineyards and wineries that are popping up, but also is not kind of a drain on the college. It's self-sustaining.
Sure. So a flow from sales to supporting the program.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. The and so the public can get involved by going to the tasting room. Is it open yet?
Not yet. You know, it takes time with wine. That's one thing that if wine taught me anything was patience. You know, it's 3 to 5 years before you ever get your first crop of fruit coming off. This year, we're just going to see our first crop coming from our 2012 planting, just to give you a frame of reference there. Everybody saw the building. They said, great, where's the wine at? and we're working on it. So it's in bottle. Right now, we're in the process of getting TTB approval for our labels, which is another step that takes time, and then we'll label it. We're hoping to have some soft openings the end of this summer with set schedule starting in the fall.
So we will sell no wine before it's time.
Yeah.
Some people in a certain age group remember that ad from the 60s. But talk more about the acronym you used. Who is there some sort of organization?
TTB. It's the Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau.
Oh, okay.
It's part of the U.S. Treasury.
And they have to approve your label?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, think taxes. That's really what they're worried about. They're not really worried about other compliances.
Right. This
Yeah, yeah, no.
There's a few things.
Gosh.
The state really oversees kind of day-to-day operations and sales and, you know, where things are getting sold.
All right, real quickly, although we've done it before, enology is and viticulture is?
So the grapes we grow are Vitis vinifera. So Vitis, growing Vitis, you know, cultivating Vitis.
Yes, sir.
Viticulture. And then the Greek word for wine is enos. So the study of wine is enology.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent.
So I say it's simpler than that. I say viticulture is the science of the vines.
Ah,
enology is the science of the wines.
There you go. V vine, science wine. All right, Greg. Tom, you're up. Talk about now. Tom is president of the Verde Valley Wine Consortium, and he is. You know, full disclosure here, my sort of former boss, as I was a part-time teacher at Yadnokirby, Paula's former boss.
Still is.
Part-time instructor at Yavapai College. And but he has morphed into, he's no longer in that role. He is president of the Verde Valley Wine Consortium. He saw a good thing and kind of jumped on. Tell us about it.
Well, just to add on to what Michael said about the time that it takes to get the wine, the time it took to get this actual program going. This goes back to 2005-06.
Wow.
We had a different administration at the time. We had the Verde campus there, and there's an 80-acre site. And it's what are we going to do with this 80-acre site here in the Verde Valley? And, you know, agriculture has always been something historically that the Verde Valley has flourished on, you know, the Green Valley.
That's right.
So it was promoting the program, trying to get the program to actually grow and convincing people that this was a very viable thing that we could do there. And to see it come to fruition with this tasting room winery on campus is really pretty amazing. And I also want to comment on when that tasting room is open, go up there during sunset. You'll see a spectacular view of the Verde Valley, the Sedona Red Rocks, and everything about it.
It is nestled in the loving arms of Mingus Mountain. Right there on the hillside, and it does have a view across the valley. It's a beautiful campus and a beautiful spot.
The vines, the way they're coming out, the wines are going to be excellent, everything about it. And in the whole program, the way it was built was, everything is going to be done by students. So it was, the business end of it, the growing end of it, the law of it, everything about it. And the fact that it's all coming together is really, really pretty amazing. It's really, what's going to happen and keep this Verde Valley going? As you said, 20 wineries now. 10 years ago there were three.
Yeah.
So it's growing. It's going to continue. And it's a huge thing for the economy of the Verde Valley and the state of Arizona.
Yeah, all it takes is a trip to any winery. We do favoritism here all the time, so we don't worry about it. But Page Springs and all those three Oak Creek Wine, all vineyards, all those three out on the Page Springs Road, to me are just busy as all get out. Alcantara, the wine, the tasting rooms in Old Town. Sam Pillsbury, who was supposed to be here today, is not here. We will do a little homage to Sam. I had a good time in his tasting. When I'm not at Cactus Cates, I'm at Sam Pillsbury's tasting room, tasting and having a good time with, he has music down there, and he has, one of his employees is a wonderful guitar player. And so, there's the Fire Mountain, there's Arizona Stronghold, there's a lot of tasting rooms down in Old Town Cottonwood, and it's, the people are coming. I sit there with my old men. And I get all my political perspective from these old conservatives that I hang out with at the coffee shop, and then of course I call them names on the air. But we sit there and we watch the parade, and I would say the views have improved immensely from an old man's perspective down in Old Town Cottonwood.
Yeah, there's another new one coming on too. It'll be on maybe within a month or so.
What's
Chateau
that?
Tumbleweed.
Tumbleweed.
Yeah, they're actually in Clarkdale, and then the 4-8 down in Clarkdale
as
well.
Yes.
So Clarkdale's benefiting from this as well.
Now, I want to kind of put this out to everybody. The was the 4-8 or other for amateur growers, for people that wanted to get maybe go to the next level, maybe take the enology class. And try a little viticulture in their backyard. Is there a place that they can get some advice? And
well, the college is the best place to start. We have entry level classes on both the viticulture and the enology side. So if you're just looking to get some info on growing grapes, take Viticulture 100, Intro to Viticulture. If you want to take Science of Winemaking, we go through Red, White, and Rosé Winemaking. It will greatly improve your ability to make homemade wine. I tell you, the students who really get into it and take the other stuff, the chemistry, the water management, the soils, those are the ones who become great winemakers. So we're trying to make a comprehensive program, but you can get little teaser courses. Paula's classes are great for people who just want to understand that immense world of wine, which can be kind of daunting.
It is that.
And then as far as 4-8 goes, 4-8's set up to be an incubator. So there's a humongous amount of capital you have to have to start a winery, and somebody's already done that, and they're allowing you to use their space to kind of get you up to that next level, and then the tasting room functions as your first sources of income.
I see. Okay. So this is the tasting room in Clarkdale. Make that clear. I have been there more often than I care to admit. Also, right across from the 1012. I mean, how could I not go there? But that was kind of forward thinking. Certainly,
a tour of the Verde Valley bars and wine tasting by Mike Cosentino.
I can be separately contracted for all it takes is the price of a bottle of wine. And I don't buy it by the glass, by the way. I buy it by the bottle. Let's get that right out there.
Support the industry. That's
my only motivation. It's certainly not my own pleasure. It is to support these fine students at Yavapai College and the industry, because it's a happening thing. Paula, tell us about, you have an event coming up in a few days. Not you, that you guys. I guess all of you are involved. But
we are all involved. It is the Verde Valley Wine Consortium's 4th annual wine symposium. And we're having it at Yavapai College this coming Saturday on May 30th. And it's an all-day affair. We have something for everybody, for the consumer, for the person who just wants to taste some wine. We've got classes or seminar sessions, speakers that are talking on all kinds of topics of interest for people who are potentially wanting to plant a vineyard. Wow. We have integrated pest management sessions. We've got a hands-on grafting. So we have a guy coming up, Bill Cook. He's coming up from Harmony Gardens down south. And he's going to lead a group of people through how to graft. And grafting is very important. So the theme this year is taking root. So every year the symposium has had a theme, and we build on that theme every year. So we've got people flying in to moderate. We've got some important local people. We've got the new executive director of the Arizona Department of Liquor coming to say hello and let us know what he's up to. And then the creme de la creme is the 14 winery wine tasting that we're going to be having starting at noon, so noon to 5.
Wow.
If you just want to come and taste wine, you can come and do that. If you want to come for the whole day, you can come do that. Sessions and seminars and more information about the symposium is on our website, which is verdevalleywine.org.
verdevalleywine.org.
Yep, www.verdevalleywine.org. And we hope to see everybody out there because it's a really great event. We've got some local food vendors. We have a chocolate and wine pairing seminar that I will be hosting, co-hosting with a famous chocolatier. I think you'll find out that it's going to
Another great idea, wine and chocolate.
Wine and chocolate. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to kind of expose some myths about wine and chocolate, too, because it's not all good.
Oh, okay.
Do it right. It's great. It's great. So we look forward to seeing everybody out there. Early bird tickets through Friday available on our website.
I did go to one. I've been to one. I had, you know, for the still do. I live on an acre of land, and I have whatever these Sicilian roots and my nationality, and I just feel this drive to grow grapes and make wine. And I did make wine with my grandfather as we were growing up. We made a Zinfandel that would take your head off.
Yeah, every year we did that with my grandfather.
Yeah, every year.
Same deal.
40 gallons.
One barrel behind the garage.
One barrel wine.
You grew it. Yep.
I was, it was pink mud. It started, I got to see that change. My job was to hold this little galvanized tub under the barrel. There was something biblical about it. It sat there for 40 days and 40 nights and made a lot of noise as it fermented. And then my job was to get the galvanized tub, which I'm sure my grandparents washed their feet in the rest of the year. But on this special day, it was between I held it, and then he would take the cork out of the barrel, and all of this pink mud would flow into the galvanized tub, and that was the beginning of the wine of this Dago red. You know, if I can say this term on the air, I can say all kinds of other derogatory terms, so I guess I can do that.
It's probably such high alcohol content that you didn't have to worry about washing the feet the rest of the year.
I think it did. And remembering that flavor, I believe the alcohol content probably was up there in the 14-15 range. It was pretty stout stuff. And then we got to keep the barrel in our basement, which became a source for all my teenage drinking. I mean, if we couldn't get somebody to buy us beer, well, by golly, we went to Mike's basement and pulled out some wine. But I digress. The wine, I did go to a wine consortium event, whether it was last year or the year before, as we were discussing before the show was up for discussion. But it was fascinating in so many ways. It was so much information. The symposium speakers. It did get a little technical, but that year I was in the mood for technical, you know. And so at least I thought I was. And the ending of the day with this, I have to admit, you're starting the wine tasting at noon.
It's noon to 5, so
that's great.
If you don't want to do the technical stuff,
yeah,
then we just say, come on and do the wine tasting stuff. Enjoy that and enjoy the food.
And just hang
out. We're
going
to have a raffle. We're going to have a really great raffle, win some wine, and different wine-associated items will be there. Because it is a fundraiser for the Verde Valley Wine Consortium, and this is we have two a year, and this is one of them. So please come support.
So you have a five-hour wine tasting. Do you have transportation home for the participants?
Yes, we can arrange transportation home for you, and you do get to keep the glass. So you'd be there, but you don't have to stay. The idea is potentially we want you to come in early and listen to some folks, go out, taste some wine, maybe get some food, come back in, listen to some more folks, kind of in and out. I don't suggest 5 hours of tossing it back if you can avoid it.
But there is the bus system that runs through the campus, so you can pick up the
cat's bus.
So
we'll take care of you.
The cat's van. The cat's
bus. We haven't lost anybody yet. Fourth year.
I wanted to emphasize, too, that's the mission of the Verde Valley Wine Consortium, is promoting all these different wineries. We aren't any partial to any one particular one. That's what got me involved with it. I know Keith Paul involved with it from the get-go. This isn't an industry that's happening. It's coming on. We support them all and do what we can. So we have this event really supports them all, and we have most of the local wineries represented at this one, too.
Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I thought was really cool when I went, that you had so many local winemakers there. I had just chatty little questions, and I got chatty little answers. it was great. It was very informative beyond my wildest dreams. I do want to say that for those people that it does sometimes it's been a multi-day affair. This time it is a one-day affair, and which is all good. I want to kind of jump around here a little bit. I want to go back to Michael and talk about those scholarships that we talked about. Viticulture, we talked about enology. What do you got there?
There's three separate scholarships that are available exclusively to viticulture and enology students. And these scholarships were put together by the support of the community. It was all donated money straight to this program specifically. This year, for the next academic year, the 15-16 year, there's three available. One is the Eric Roberts Memorial Scholarship, and then there's two Russ and Judith Balda scholarships, and those will be awarded this summer. So you can apply up until, I believe, June 22nd, and any student enrolled in the fall classes are able to apply for that.
All right, we're listening to Michael Pierce, director of enology at Yavapai College. Now, everybody isn't 19 and 20 years old here. I know that some of your enology students are even my age and maybe beyond.
Yeah, the college average is 36, and I haven't seen official numbers, but my guess is my and Paula's average is slightly higher than that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of second, third career type people who are successful doing other things, and they're kind of starting to think if they want to do their own vineyard and winery, and the school is a good place for them to start. So we're starting to pull people from everywhere. It was specifically called the Southwest Wine Center because we're not here just as a resource for Arizona, but also for New Mexico and Colorado and inland California. We're really the only academic school for viticulture and enology in those areas. I'm also starting to see students coming up from Phoenix a lot. My Thursday night class, I had a carpool of five students coming up.
Wow,
so,
really?
Yeah, we get a nice cross section. We do have some of those students who it's their first career, and they said, "Well, that's kind of fun. I like growing grapes or making wine." But the majority, I think, are people who have gotten into wine somehow else in their life.
Well, there's so much in a name. I mean, Southwest Wine Center, good on you. Nothing wrong with Verde Valley Wine Center, but to have that kind of vision for the area is pretty exciting. I mean, I can't. Once again, we're switching on Democratic perspective here from our political thing to talking about local stuff, and which we do a lot. We had shows on Old Town Cotton. Today's show, we had shows on Sedona. Today's show is on wine. and the exciting happenings in the Verde Valley and the area over wine. Now, I don't know what Napa Valley, Paula might can tell us what Napa Valley was like 40 years ago, but it's starting to at least, and I've been here for 40 years, 43 years. I moved to Sedona in the early 70s. And so, just like Tom and some, at least from my distance, I watched this grow, watched this change. You know, from Arizona wine being the butt of jokes, Arizona itself is still the butt of many jokes politically, as it should be. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're laughing so much at, when it comes to wine anymore. They are here. The industry is growing. It is, they make some quality wine. I have the jobs. We laughed in 2006. Janet Napolitano came to town, and the question, not necessarily to her, but the question was, where's the jobs? Okay, you're gonna grow wine in the Verde Valley. The soil and the climate and all that good stuff is good. Just right for wine. And even if we believe that, where's the jobs? And all I can tell you is that as I look at a lifetime of former students working in the industry everywhere, like you said, from the tasting rooms to the winemaking places and everything from marketing to... I mean, those little wine club things that I get in the mail, those are sent by a former student. Yeah. You know, so there's a girl that stayed here in the Verde Valley she's, you know, in her 40s. So, which is still a girl to, yes, exactly, to most of us. But just that on the cusp of this, transition of, this community and the things that Tom had, you know, with the wine consortium, the Southwest Wine Center. This is just so exciting to be around all these changes are happening.
You're in awe. You're in awe.
I am in awe.
You know, you got to understand one thing we've got going for us. Not only do we have the most really well-suited environment, we're high-altitude farming. We can grow a lot of different things here. Where we are situated in the Verde Valley especially, the infrastructure is here. The people are here. The hotels are here. The restaurants are here.
Right.
We're adding value. If you want to look at a lot of other wine regions, like look at Paso Robles or look at Walla Walla, Washington, we are moving a lot faster than they did because there was nothing there. People don't come to town to watch grapes grow. They'll come to town to go to the Grand Canyon, to see the Red Rocks of Sedona, and to enjoy tasting rooms. But the fact that we have those other things here is helping to accelerate the entire industry in a good way. So, you know, we are still years behind Napa Valley or Walla Walla, Washington, but we are growing in leaps and bounds without getting political. We had some political reasons why we weren't that wine industry 30 years ago. And that's changed. Laws have changed. We've become a little more easy to do business as a winery in Arizona. Prior to 2006, we had 12 wineries. So laws change. People's perspectives are changing. Money is coming. I mean, that's probably the biggest problem is undercapitalization. Otherwise, we'd probably be growing even quicker if everybody had access to money. Eventually, we'll have all the ancillary, accessory jobs and businesses like barrel making and nurseries and all the bits that you need to create a vineyard. Currently, we have to have it all shipped in. This is why. But why are Arizona wines so expensive? You know, they're not that good, and why they cost so much money. Well, eventually, the prices are going to come down because all of the things you need to create that bottle of wine will be local. It'll be here. We're trying to be as sustainable as we can. The college right now at the Southwest Wine Center, it's using sustainable practices like nobody's business. We've got reclaimed water. We've got water catchment. These are things that we feel is important to build into the infrastructure. Might take a little more time, might cost a little more money, but in the end, we're all going to benefit from it.
Well, that's it. Go ahead, Gary. What do you got?
I was just going to say the impact on tourism is got to be tremendous because, you know, when I first came here, you know, you could see people drive from Sedona. They came to see Sedona, and they would drive up to Jerome, driving right past Old Town Cottonwood.
Right.
And now you see them stop. You see people coming there as a destination. It's a huge benefit for the Verde Valley.
Yeah, we did way back in 2011. The University of Arizona did a survey for us through the Wine Consortium. We actually asked them to do that on the economic benefit to the Verde Valley of the wine industry. So this is back in 2011. And it was something like $40
million, $40 million
that had put into the economy then.
Then. That's 4 years ago.
And we're working now on a follow-up on that study. NAU then did another study for us on the tourism impact, just the tourism impact. And it was something like at that time, $3 million just locally in the Cottonwood area. So the benefit to the state has got to be huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, forget, I mean, study or no study, I can tell you from sitting just the amount of folks on a weekend, a three-day weekend like this is heartening to see in Old Town Cottonwood.
And like they were talking about, the potential for bringing in more jobs and relatively, at least not minimum wage jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge deal for the Verde Valley. Too many of the jobs for young people over the past, I don't know how long, have been, you know, jobs that are barely minimum wage. And
sure.
So this is a huge benefit for the area.
Tell us about Cellar Door Unhinged, if you don't mind. I mean, some sort of secret thing, then that's fine. But
well, the name sort of implies what it is. It's behind the cellar door, and I want to help all different facets and people who are looking for answers to how to. So I'm a consultant. I do a lot of staff training at restaurants, teaching people about wine, showing them why their wine list works with these specific foods. I've helped people plant vineyards. We help wineries start up. We've people with taxes, how to get their licenses. So all of the things that are involved in how to. I've been in the wine industry for over 20 years now, and I have amassed a bit of skill and some associates and friends who are help me with this endeavor, and we go out and we take care of people who are looking to do it. You know, how do I start? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? Me, and we help.
Well, that's great. That's a service. Go ahead.
I want to add something to what Paul is saying, and actually something that you said. You know, you've got your acre of land, and you're thinking about putting vines in and like that. That's a question that comes up a lot, especially for us members of the consortium, and then I'm sure with Michael and anyone else who's in the industry. You know, what does it cost?
Mm-hmm.
So one of our panel discussions at the symposium addresses just that. So the title of the actual thing is "So You Want to Plant a Vineyard?" And what we have local people who are actually out there doing it.
Wow.
You know, one person will say it costs $20 a vine. One person will say it's $2,000 a vine. You're going to actually hear people who are doing it saying what it costs and what you can expect and not expect and like that. And that's real time information that you can't find that in a textbook.
Yeah. Right. No.
So,
yeah. I You know, what I know is, you know, if you let me into the Page Springs Winery at night with a knife, I'll get all the cuttings I need.
Propagate might take a while for that first bottle, but, you know, eventually you'll get there, Mike.
Well, you know, I'm patient.
Good. That's the slow way right there.
I'm a patient guy, yeah. Well, you know, I cut my teeth on orchards in Oak Creek Canyon, so you know, there'll be no peaches before their time either. That's not true. The tourists will pick them if they can get at them way before their time. But anyway, we're rolling here.
I should also mention that the college has through the college, there's a small business development center that could be of some help to people who are looking to get started. I don't know if you have more information on that, Michael.
The SBDC is a resource for anybody in Yavapai College, anybody who's a taxpayer. We've also built this into the program. So on my winemaking classes, we start with Science of Winemaking 1, where students outline a 2,000-case production facility, and they line item all of the equipment they need, and they see a big dollar amount at the end. Science of Winemaking 2, we go through what it takes then to get it from bringing in grapes to the bottle. So we talk about quality control, and they go through the lab. They have a lab manual, all those costs, what a cork costs, all the bottle costs. And then the final class, Science of Winemaking 3, we actually bring in the SBDC, and we have them do a business plan. So they have those other two exercises that they've done. They incorporate that into a business plan, what a cash flow summary needs to look like, when they can expect to start seeing positive cash flow, which it's pretty incredible. And sometimes it's 7, 8, 9 years with a winery.
Mm-hmm.
And then they see that they need to kind of pare some of those things down. You can't have everything stainless steel and, you know, diamond coated. So hopefully students leave with a true expectation of what some of those financial considerations are, because they're big in the wine industry. It's not the same as your standard startup, you know, entrepreneur type business.
And I just want to add to that, you know, Michael also has, he's the instructor for the Enology program, but he has his own winery and wine label that he has. He has his vineyards down
south.
What
is it?
Well, we have two wine brands. One is Bodega Pierce. It's wine that I make. All the fruit is grown by my dad. And then I have a winemaker's label, which is called Saeculum.
Say it again.
Saeculum. It is Latin for century. Wow. It's all the special projects I want to do as a winemaker. So that allows me to make a barrel here or there of something I've always wanted to try. And then,
a special project might be a special variety, a special blend?
You know, I have a Straw Viognier co-ferment available right
amazing
now.
Amazing wines. He makes amazing wines.
It also allows me to do things like extended aging, things that might up the bottle price. And I have different bottle, you know, market segments. I'm going for both of those brands. The Bodega Pierce, we have a goal of producing over delivering quality for the value, which is, as we've said a couple times, a big challenge for Arizona wine. So we're trying to be very competitive with our price point and deliver just a great wine that goes really well with dinner and people enjoy.
I see. So this wine will make maybe a mark, you know, quality-wise on an international basis, mm-hmm. if you get it right. And all it takes maybe is one or two of those that might get more respect for Arizona wines.
Well, I've been asked for this summer to give a speech at the Society of Wine Educators annual conference, which is, I'm a member, and it's held this year in Louisiana in August. So New Orleans in August, maybe not so much fun, but the point is there'll be 500 people that are in the Society of Wine Educators that have not been exposed to Arizona wine. Myself and a wine educator named Gary Spatafore, he and I together are going to co-host a session, and we're calling it Getting High in Arizona. And we're going to come at this. Well, it's high elevation. People don't know it. They envision Arizona as a desert. You know, it's sand with cactus.
Yes.
How do you grow grapes there?
Yes.
So we're going to come in and say, you know, what you think you know, you don't know. And we're going to teach this class in a way that they leave feeling like they really learned something. And we have 8 wines that we're going to be tasting through this session. And Michael has so graciously donated some wine. And this is exactly how you get the word out to the world in front of – these are serious wine professionals, industry people, masters of wine, wine educators, master sommeliers, all in one place.
There you go. That's exactly right.
Take the word out there.
Those are the kinds of things. I mean, you know, once again, Sam Pillsbury, who's not here, is such a entertaining and a spokesman for Arizona wines. And he gets around.
His wine's going to be with me in Louisiana.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. I drink a lot of that. I look forward to tasting Michael's wine someday. If I maybe you'll a bottle will show up at the Southwest Tastings Center. Southwest Wine Center.
Or at the symposium.
Or at the symposium. All right. A reason to go to the symposium.
Yeah.
That's great. You know, if. Well, I don't want to say like me. You know, there's the other side of the wine consumer in the Verde Valley, and that is they consume and they continue to consume a fair amount of Arizona wines. And not that there's not new things and exciting things all the time, but you are, you know, that's part of what now I'm at my point in consumption that I'm looking for is is, you know, I've had a lot of that. I've had a lot of this. I've had my share of that. So, so when my tasting rooms come up with something new, well, by gosh, I'm in line for that, and I'm going to take a bottle home. And so
that's the real joy of being part of the wine clubs is that you get to try a lot of new things, and you know, if somebody twists my arm to buy a bottle or two every so often, which is great.
Well, that's it. I think you know that you don't want to be that wino, the guy that just drinks, you know, quantities of wine. I mean, I could be that guy. But you want to kind of hide it under the fact that, well, I'm trying all these different wines, so I'm becoming more of an expert. I'll be the oldest.
You're giving all of us wine drinkers a bad name.
Be the oldest sommelier whatever.
You do feel like you've come across something cool, though, when you find that new wine.
Yes, you do.
I think with all the wineries that are coming up, it's really going to increase competition and everybody's going to have to step up their game and produce good wine. So I think quality is going to surge as a result.
And it's a real joy to find a pairing that's one of the things that I really enjoy is to find, you know, a wine that goes perfectly with a particular food dish. It's that to me is a real joy.
Yeah. Well, I admire that. I want something I can drink a whole bottle of and some walk away from. Tell us the name of your wines again, Michael. I'm sorry.
Bodega Pierce and Saeculum.
Okay. And it's fascinating that so you are on the practical side of your not just you know what they say about teachers, Michael. Those that can do, those that can't teach. So in this case, you are doing.
I am doing. Yeah, it wasn't really a conscious choice to get into my role at the college. It was an opportunity that was there, and I took advantage of it, and I'm very proud of it. I'm surprised I'm a teacher, but it's working out.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Actually, having been a teacher for a long time, some of those make the best teachers, because you're doing it for a love of the work of the topic, and that's great.
Let me ask a question about the wine program. How many people are enrolled in the wine center?
As of this spring, we had 92 active students. So we have a 1-year certificate in viticulture, which is just the grape growing, a 1-year certificate in enology, or a 2-year associate of applied science, which is both degrees and then general education. So those 92 students are in either of those three degree paths. And that's grown. Last year it was 77. So it's
well, I need you to save me a spot in the fall program. We only got a couple minutes left here. So we want to make sure before we might get back to wine, but we want to make sure that we thank the people that help us put the show on the air, and that is the Democrats of the Red Rocks and the Democrats of the Verde Valley. Help us keep the show going, and we are going to talk about Yavapai College. I think next week we do want to say that since we have Yavapai College here, I want to get this in now. We broke the story about the 10-year plan and about selling the Sedona campus. They did take, according to an email I got recently, they took
longer on the table.
Selling the Sedona campus has been taken out of the 10-year plan. Now, that was a point of disturbed some people over here. I want to get that on this show, and we'll talk about it at length on the next show. We'll talk about the updates on the two advisory committees and the one advocacy committee. We'll try to sort those out for you next week.
And we can talk about education kind of in general and in the state of Arizona.
Oh, my.
they're all tied together.
Well, as the state of Arizona writes off, especially community college education, which I believe, and we're talking about no state funding? No state funding? Let me say that again. This zero state funding.
It's like 2%, I think, for Yavapai College.
Almost completely cutting. What country in the world cuts off their community colleges from state funding? We'll give the Arizona legislature their props for passing some good wine laws, but it took them a while. but we will take away and we will label them. Anyway, next week we can find this show and all shows on VVID.org.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.